Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I think it had to be a setup. Just had to be. I think whoever put this lectionary together had to be a Republican with the gift of prophecy. The text appointed for today, Klaus Westermann claims, is the text that is more than any other text in the Old Testament filled with so much talk about the wrath of God. And so I know it had to be a setup to give a text like this to me, a theologian who, without any remorse and indeed with a little pride perhaps, confesses to believe in the power of negative thinking. And then to put me here in the pulpit on the morning after a national election. As far as I know, I have yet to be accused of being a theologian of hope. Dr. Rask, I guess, did get it right. Well, when it comes to wrath and woe, it doesn't get any better than Lamentations 2. God himself laments the fall of Jerusalem. Her ruination is as deep as the ocean, and her illness is untreatable. The outcome of her sickness is terminal. Her prophets have proven false with their slick promises of peace when there is no peace. By their lies, they have seduced Zion, deceiving her into misbelief and other great shame and vice. Their oracles have tickled ears that itch for a God who will conform to their notions of how a proper deity is to behave. They are content to have a God hiding in cloud and majesty and awe as long as he stays put there and doesn't get in the way of religion for fun and profit. But God does not stay put. He comes calling on Jerusalem, and he comes in judgment. He is Jerusalem's critic, and she is left in destruction. The city that is called the perfection of beauty, the joy of all the earth, is an object of derision. Her enemies gloat over her downfall and celebrate her defeat. And there's yet more. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the Lord's own doing. His handiwork. Listen again to how our text ends, and let me remind you that when the lector finished, he said, "This is the Lord," and you, with a full voice, said, "Thanks be to God." You might want to question that liturgical response. The Lord has done what he purposed. He has carried out his word, which he commanded long ago. He has thrown down without pity. He has made the enemy to rejoice over you and exalted the might of your foes. And you all said, "Thanks be to God." Jerusalem's fate is not accidental. She receives judgment from the Lord's hand. Jerusalem had a problem. It was not just that her neighbors invaded her and upset her political life and disrupted her civil well-being. Her problem, in fact, was God. You see, we have become accustomed of thinking of God as a solution to our problems. But here in this text, for Jerusalem, God is the problem. He gives her up to her own ways. Now she tastes the bitterness of her iniquity. Hence the prophet's lament, which continues throughout the rest of the chapter and into chapter 3. Not an ounce of gospel is to be found in our text. If there is good news to be preached today, it will have to come from outside the perimeters of this pericope. The day of wrath, in fact, will pass, but it will not evaporate into nothingness just because we will to have a nice God, a domesticated deity who winks at sin. The day of wrath ends only in Christ Jesus, who was made sin for us. In the end, he does not forsake his holy city, but with tears and lamentations of his own, he wails and he weeps for Jerusalem, even as he suffers himself to be rejected and crucified as a condemned criminal outside her walls, forsaken by the Father with our sin. He bears it to the end. He dies for your trespasses. And on the third day, he is raised again for your justification. God cast down. God hands over to the enemies. God kills. That is his alien work. But that alien work stands in service of his proper work. The God who casts down raises up the fallen. The God who hands over the prey to his enemies is the God who rescues. The God who kills is the God who makes alive. That is his proper work done in Christ Jesus, accomplished once and for all. So I am authorized to stand here this morning and announce to you that you are not under wrath, but grace. For there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And in his empty tomb, your future is secure in a hope that does not disappoint. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.